Welcome, everybody. This is the Social Business Hangout, and this is episode 24. And with me today is?
Today is the date of May 9th.
There it is. And you are?
My name is Cheryl Schofield, and I'm the follow-up specialist at kickstartyourcompany.com.
Perfect. And I'm Robert Levine, your social business mentor. So we are actually going to talk about advanced networking.
Awesome.
And in the pre-show, if you want to call it a pre-show, we were kind of going around the room and talking a bit about, you know, we've talked about LinkedIn, we've talked about networking, and one of the biggest things that always comes back is, I've got the business card, now what? Okay. So I kind of want to back up a bit, though, and maybe start with working the room. Okay, we'll kind of walk through the process. This is kind of how I envision it. So typically you show up, either it's a conference or a networking meeting or just lunch, you know, because networking is anything, right?
Yeah.
So the working the room, for lack of a better statement, how would you approach that?
Well, a lot, you know, I would say my clients fall into two categories. Those people who are of the shy persuasion, who see a room full of people and they freeze. They probably have no marketing, no sales background, and they're not used to meeting a lot of people at once that they don't know. For those people, I say to them, it's easy. All you have to do is just be prepared when you get into the room, because preparation leads to confidence. So if you know what you're going to do, you're not going to get to the door and think to yourself, now what? Because you haven't thought about it before. So practice before with your friends, and I give them a step-by-step plan. So a couple of ideas along that line is, you've got to get the conversation going. And if you're coming in from a parking lot and you're opening the door, if you typically just open the door for somebody else, they're going to say something to you like, oh, thanks for opening the door. Great, you've got the conversation started. So there's lots of various opportunities within that kind of a situation to start the conversation. You're standing in line. There's all kinds of different things. And then we just need to keep it going. And what I tell them is we should always start with form questions. F, family. O, occupation. R, recreation or resources. And M, your message.
That's great, actually. Now, that obviously applies to both those that are comfortable and uncomfortable. For those that are maybe a bit more, I don't want to say introvert and extrovert, because there's misconceptions that the introvert people are shy, and it's not about that. For those that maybe are a bit more comfortable, obviously they still need to plan, okay? Would they be the ones that would typically be more dealing with a larger group of people? Like, are you kind of saying, if you're shy, maybe go more with the one-on-one, get the person at the water fountain or get them at the door? If you're a bit more comfortable, go with maybe a larger group. Is that where the differentiation comes into play, or?
Well, it's about bravery. Mm-hmm. You have to be brave, and I just find I'm braver if I'm better prepared. I mean, I came a lot from sales and marketing, but somehow when I got into that room, when it was my own business, is totally different from promoting somebody else. When they tell you what to say, you know what you're doing. You're there at a trade show with your colleagues, where you're both chatting it up and you're talking off each other, is completely different when you arrive at an event yourself and someone says, so, what do you do?
Mm.
And you're just like, the more you go on, the worse it gets. Right?
So really, to me, if I'm hearing it, if you're going to a business focus where you are on brand, for lack of a better term, that brand has been scripted for you, you've gone through the material, you live that day, you know, that job day in and day out, you can talk about your work quite easily. Talking more, as you say, more about yourself. This also applies if the people are unemployed or just socially networking. It's almost as if that work-life balance that we've always talked about is such a hard line between the two of them, that making that flip from work to life or blending them together is where people kind of struggle. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes, because we've been trained not to promote ourselves. It's bragging, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to come across as being a pest. And I find that that's one of the biggest things that stops people from following up, is the fact that, well, I must be a pest by now. I mean, you've heard from me two or three times. I mean, I feel bad. And as soon as you feel bad and you start coming across as feeling bad, you know, that message gets out there, and that's not good for your business. It's not good for business, right? That's not how you build things. So I just think you need to go prepared, and you have to talk a lot about, you know, who are you? I want to bring it back to you all the time. Tell me about yourself. Because what you tell me about yourself, that's what I'm going to use to follow up with you. Mm-hmm. I can't use my stuff. If I'm telling you all about me, I had a great time, but what did I learn? There's nothing to follow up with. I didn't learn anything that I can follow up with.
And I think that's the fundamental difference to me between those that go for the quick sell, mm-hmm. or those that go for lack of a better term, the long tail. If you're just talking about yourself, you're hoping that that person resonates with you right there on the spot, and they'll be your best friend, and they'll want to be with you, or they'll want to be, it's the cult of personality, for lack of a better term. When you flip it around and you do the, this is who I am, and then you start asking the questions and you do the old, you know, two ears versus one mouth analogy, you are gathering information. You are providing ways to leap into another conversation. Because you may not be comfortable talking a bit about yourself, but when all of a sudden that person has something that you're comfortable talking about, you're now engaging with the person on a topic that they care about.
Yeah, and also a topic that's not pointed at you, so you don't feel like you're on the hot seat. Because, you know, as soon as we start talking about family, friends, and animals, we can all have a story to tell, as we were talking about before. It's all about our stories. Mm-hmm. But when someone's looking at you, and you're like, okay, I have to be super smart now. What am I going to say that you're going to think, oh, God, Robert, I've been looking for you all my life. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure for me to try to think of that. I can't talk.
So is the general sense there that the goal really is to not necessarily sell in that moment, but to build that repertoire so that when you have the follow-up, that there is something that you can say, remember when we talked about that crazy storm? Or, you know,
absolutely.
And now, you know, you kind of move in. So the fear of doing it in public in the large room has kind of been displaced to, you've developed a relationship to a certain degree. You're now engaging with the person after the fact, and you're kind of then bridging into the sale, for lack of a better statement?
Yeah, because most, you have to build the know you, like you, trust you factor, and not 80% of sales are made on the 5th to 12th contact. You're always going to find the people who are looking for what you're buying, but we know from sales that those people only represent about 1/3 of the people that you're going to meet. Now, all those other people, they can fall into one of two categories: people who will never purchase from you, but who do they know? What we're talking to say, we don't know. They could become advocates. I just like you, Robert. I like promoting you. I'm never going to be able to buy from you, but I just like you, so I'm going to promote you anyway.
Yeah.
So there's those people. And there's also the people who are earlier in the buying cycle. They just think, you know, I've got this itch. I have no idea that it had to do with psoriasis, and I haven't even come to the understanding of how to solve it. We know from sales that if we hit people right when they're ready to purchase, it's the most competitive time. You're much more likely to be at a price differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, I know all about this topic. I've been doing quite a bit of research. And, you know, this guy over here is going to give me this, and this guy over here is going to give me this, and he's a little cheaper, so what are you going to do for me? They've done all the research, right? And by the time you get to that, I want to be your best friend. I want to be your trusted advisor. So therefore, I got to find you sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So follow-up is about finding people a lot sooner in the process.
No, that's a fair point, because, you know, I always go back to the old, you know, teenage years. You know, you want to go straight to third base or whatever, and, you know, it's a patience game, right? It's about building that relationship. But you hit on something that I think is even more important now than it was ever before. Obviously, the top-of-mind factor is key.
Yep.
Okay, but now that top of mind resonates with a much larger crowd, because in the past, you know, the old, I'll tell two friends. Now it's 2,000, we'll tell 2,000. The tools that we have now to find who that second degree and who that third degree are so much easier to use. So the focus is no longer about finding those people, because they are findable now. Okay, it to me, and I think this is the theme that I'm picking up on, is making sure that the person that is being introduced is exactly that. It's the person, not the product.
Yes, it's just to, kind of think about it this way, is I try to tell my clients, a lot of them are sales representatives, and they are used to selling the person that's across the seat in front of them, and they want to, you know, it's all about the bottom line, it's all about the end of the month number that they have to hit. But the thing is about it is, what about all these other people? If you continue to just run to networking, because to me, it all goes back to the sage advice that we've all heard about networking. Oh, Robert, you want to grow your business. What do? Oh, just go networking. You're going to find clients there. I come into the room with the expectation, this is what I'm here for. You see advertisements that go, oh, there's going to be 300 people in the room. You have to get there. You know, well, you're going to miss out on something. It's the biggest event ever. So now I think it's about volume. I think I'm going to meet 300 people. I think I'm going to meet people who are going to be my clients. Therefore, the expectation on me is to talk about my product. It's only after you've been doing it for a while that you realize there's something missing with the sage advice, something that's very important. And with the sales reps, they're totally overwhelmed with a lot of the technology because they're people. They want to do the belly-to-belly networking. They believe that's where it all happens. And it does. It's true for those people who want to purchase. But it's all about the all the other people that are in the room. And you have to move your conversation from one-to-one. Used to be the only channel that we talked on. But we can't make appointments anymore. The outside sales reps can't get in there. So now we have to move to multiple channels. We have to do verbal. As we were talking about, there's people outside this room. It's not just about the 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 people that are actually here in this room, but it's about all the other people that are outside the room. If I tell you my story, Robert, and you are expected to carry my message from me, the power to build my business is now on your hands, and I'm expecting you to remember, you're not going to build my business for me. It's not up to you to build my brand. But if I send you a podcast that you can forward to your friends, I made it easy for you. That's what we have to do, is make it as easy as possible for people to help us, to promote us, and to become our clients. There's multiple channels, and that is what I help people to do, is really, a lot of times, I think, is move from a verbal one-to-one relationship and multiply that into a process. I help them to put a process in place that allows them to amplify that out onto more channels more often. So they're in the room. You don't have to be in people's faces. Mm-hmm. You just need to be in the room. I get you in the room.
Yeah. I think that there's two aspects that you brought up there. There's the amplification aspect, which obviously is pretty massive these days. And then there's the digital content, because if you're now able to take digital content, whether or not that's video, audio, blogs, a PDF, whatever, okay, and put that into the hands of someone that is an advocate and will amplify for you, A, you're not getting the broken telephone issue. Okay?
Yeah.
The same message is being repeated identically, across that amplification, right? But more importantly, each of those digital pieces of content probably will answer a question that they have directly, but will bring them into a space that they might come across other content that might answer questions for other people. You know, so I think it goes back to the inbound marketing once again, is the networking sessions are the top of mind, as I call it. You know, making sure that you're top of mind with the person so that when they associate either a story or an emotion or a topic or a product, your name comes up because some form of relationship was built. Once that person is connecting with you, having that content so that they are able to work with it is key. And more importantly, it costs nothing. Once you create it once, it can be amplified and distributed multiple times, right?
Yeah.
This podcast being an example.
Yeah, and what an advocate needs is for you to give them quality content that they can send, because everyone is becoming an aggregator of information. I'm always looking for good content mm-hmm. that I can send to other people, because that's what my audience is looking for too, is good content.
And the more original the content that's associated with your personal brand, the better as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so to recap really quickly, you arrive, you open the door, all of those things are opportunities to talk with people. Don't focus as much about the price, because if the person's talking price, they've already gone down that chain. You kind of hinted at the fact of if they are talking about it, and that's, you're in that market to sell at that level, sell. If you're able to commoditize your product and sell on a dollar or whatever. But you talk about it takes, 5-7 steps before the person buys. That almost lines up with that timeline. You want to find that person that is so, I don't want to say so early into the funnel, but earlier in the funnel, so that by the time that price comes up, and this, you know, when Seth Godin talks about linchpin and all that, it's not about the price about at that point. It's the story, it's the emotion, it's the relationship. So those 5 to 7 steps are to further build that. Would that be my assessment?
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. We're looking for ways that we can help. So during that conversation, because a lot of people will say, well, I don't know what to follow up on. I didn't quite get whatever it is. And they go on and on in a conversation at a networking event where, you know, we've all seen that where we've asked somebody, so what do you do? Oh, my God. And like 10 minutes later, they're still going on. And you don't have to get it all out at the networking event. Just listen for what they're saying and then say to them, that's a great question. Can I get back to you on that? Mm-hmm. Can I follow up with you on that? So when you follow up with somebody, if you're helping them, if you're directing them towards information that they need to solve a problem, they're always going to look forward to you. You're not going to be a pest, right? It's just your job is to build up that library of content so that by the time that, it doesn't matter what question you ask me, I'm sure I have a resource for that. And we have, personally, every single one of us, way more resources. We just don't think of it that way, but we have way, way more resources. I could be following up with you for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've had, you know, examples where people have come across me online, you know, they don't know me from Adam, but something triggered, you know, me on their radar, and all of a sudden, you know, oh my God, it's like, you know, the never ending, and they immerse themselves in the content for hours, you know, and I've seen situations where, you know, the tweet comes in, I came across this, and then six hours later, there's still another tweet saying, I'm still reading or I'm still doing stuff. But today I had an example, and this goes to your point, a person asked me about LinkedIn and branch out, you know, to social networking tools. And I honestly did not have the time to answer right there and then, but I had the podcast on LinkedIn. So I said, listen, give me your card, and as soon as I get home, I will send you a link to all the podcasts. But what's more important is listen to the ones that appeal to you, build up your knowledge so that I'm not regurgitating the stuff I'm already regurgitating, and come to me with contextual questions. And I think at that point in time, the relationship of that second conversation is a lot better because you're not just going through the 101 stuff. You're now contextualizing your conversation for that individual.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think when you talk about those 5 to 7, really it comes down to just constantly adding more and more context.
Yeah, you add more and more. Exactly, because follow-up is putting their context around your content. I have my content, but I need to hear from you what your specific question is so that I can direct you to the right content. So that's how I'm connecting the context, putting the context around that content.
Okay, so we know what we want to do through that process. Let's talk about the actual act of doing it. Because, you know, you've got the business card. I'll use the worst example possible. You go to a conference, you get the business card, you go, can I link in with you? Sure, we link in, and then the connection stays there. And you never engage. So let's break that mold right there. We go past that point of I've made the connection, whether or not that's old school Rolodex or new school LinkedIn. What channels do I use? What approach do I go through? How do I build... get the process started. Like, obviously, if it's a natural dialogue that occurred and you got something going, it'll just progress. But how do you kickstart it, if you will?
Well, there's a couple of different levels of communication. There are going to be some people who are just happy with the LinkedIn, and you know what I mean? Like, there's some people who want to talk to you and some people who don't. You were alluding to before, it's the path of least resistance. You let them do whatever they want. I have a whole group of people who only receive my newsletter and we're not connected on LinkedIn, and they have never gone onto my opt-in list because they have never picked up my free report, so they don't have access to the podcast and stuff like that. I'm always encouraging them. So I have several different ways to get through to that next second and third contact. I don't have a problem getting through to second and third content. Sometimes people are in the content for quite a long time, and you can't hurry them through that. The sale doesn't happen on your schedule, it happens on theirs. I've had people who show up in my training, it's 2 years later. My job is simply to keep on giving you information. If you'd like to opt out, or if you tell me that you don't want to hear from me, then that's up to you, but until you've told me that you don't want to hear from me anymore, you haven't told me that you don't want to hear from me anymore. So my job is to just keep talking and to try to make it not all promotional. Some of it, you know, as you've always talked about before, is to get that balance in there, some original material where you're helping people with information, some promotion of other people, some direction to content. You just got to kind of do it all together in a mesh. And as I said, you could be to 12 or 13 or 15, but somebody may not purchase from you until a year and a half later. And I have had those situations where it's a year or 2 years later.
When you have the old way of looking at it, where the salesperson, as you say, has their monthly quota,
yeah,
that's short-term thinking. Because every decision, typically, it's either a short-term decision or a long-term decision. We all know long-term, you definitely get a lot more, you know, in the long run, but, you know, you're paying the price in the short term. What's the number one reaction that you get when people say, I can't wait a year and a half for that person? I got to hound them. They're either in my funnel or they're out of my funnel.
Yeah. That's a very old, that's a short-term way of looking at it. And the other thing that I was thinking about, too, is that it's all about systems. You have to have a system. People, automatically, when they're thinking that, they're thinking, oh my God, how many phone calls am I going to have to make? How many emails am I going to have to say? You don't actually. The first thing that you have to start doing is automating this whole process in the background, because that pre-qualification, those tire kickers, you could be busy over there for a while. So you've got to find some way to automate it so that they can self-regulate. They need to be able to self-select at the buffet table that I'm laying out. It's not my job to convince them. It's just my job to lay out the content. I want to spend most of my time with the high payoff activities, which are the people who want to do business with me. So those are the people that I want to spend time with, not, you know, running after. I find a lot of people spend a lot of time going to coffee meetings with people who are not the ideal client, people who are way too early. They're asking you very fundamental questions that they could have answered by reading the blogs or whatever. Those are not the people I want to spend coffee time with. I want to spend coffee time with people who are more ready. So I'm going to automate that whole front end as much as I can.
Yeah, and automation obviously plays two parts of it. There's having the content out there, and there's mm-hmm. the distribution of the content. So one of the biggest challenges we have, and I've always said this, is the old adage of, you know, if you're always fighting for that new client, you know,
yeah.
you're putting so much work into the new client, it's yeah. about getting that repeat person, whether or not that's a repeat seller, just a repeat visitor. You know, if you've got a blog and every day you're waking up and you're trying to get people to come and read your blog, it's a very difficult process. And that's where mailing lists and stuff like that still are very helpful, right? Because you are using that as a way to remind people to come in. What would be the technique to get people to opt in and to create that mailing list?
Well, you have to, the thing is, it's two different aspects here. Is because I'm selling, for me personally, because I'm selling intellectual property, I don't actually have a product that you can touch and taste and feel. Therefore, I'm always looking for an opportunity to demonstrate. So my opportunity to demonstrate is to offer you a free report. I already know the kinds of questions that my early stage clients are going to ask me, so I have prepared a free report, a TEL seminar, a conversation with expert entrepreneurs that I'm always inviting them to. I'm not actually trying to sell them. I'm inviting them to come and get answers to their questions. I know you have these answers. Come and get answers to your questions. I know you have questions. And it's up to them to opt in, but I have it on my website as a free report, and I keep telling them what they're going to get next, a TEL seminar, a free podcast, more information. You know, and if you can lead a horse to water, you can't make them drink, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the biggest things that I've had, we'll use LinkedIn as an example, is a lot of people think that the fact that a person has opted to link in with you has translated into an opt-in, and that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, right.
You need to separate, and this is honestly, you know, where in my mind LinkedIn needs to buy, you know, a MailChimp or something like that and make it a secondary part of their overall
yeah.
platform, because people think that the mailing system within LinkedIn, I'll just spam you. And that's how it's perceived, right? Because I've connected with you, you haven't heard from me in days, and all of a sudden you're getting my monthly feed, right? And it's so hard to remove yourself from a connection in LinkedIn that people just get frustrated with your name as opposed to the other way, right?
Yeah.
So we've talked a bit about the process of meeting people, bringing them into your content, making sure that they see your content. Let's finish it off with they're finally there. Okay, you've brought them through the funnel. It may have taken 6 months, it may have taken 3 months, it may have taken a year. The nice thing about the ones that take a year, your effort throughout that year has not been a year's worth of work. Mm-hmm. To your point, it's been automated or done through digital content that it's your library, right?
Yeah.
Just spend time in my library and eventually you'll want to buy a book or you'll want to have your own book. The person now eventually comes to you, they've got the context. How do you really make sure that once you sell them whatever it is, be it product or service, okay, that translates into a experience that will translate into more people coming into the funnel? Because I think going back to the story sell, we've always talked about so far about the stories that drive the networking process, but there's also the story of the sale, the story of the end product. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things that are going on there. One of the things that I thought about is you always have to be offering somebody something. You always have to be offering them, this is what we're going to do next. If this makes sense to you, here's a next step that you can take, and you are always have multi-level prices. A good, better, best, an ABC. You know, if you're interested in a $10 product, here it is. If you're interested in a $50 product, it's really great. You know, some of my customers do go to this $200 product. You know, it always comes down to that, because without the sale, business doesn't run. So you have to get comfortable or get somebody to help you to develop those products so that you've got to start packaging it up some way, right? Mm-hmm.
That way you're not necessarily selling new people through that same funnel every time, right? So the old adage of once you've taken all that time and effort to get the person to hear, it really comes down to the old statement of repeat customers.
Well, there's a couple of different things. You are always looking for new people. Yes, I am. I'm always offering the people that are in the funnel, I'm always offering them to take the next step. Then when I have clients, I'm always, making sure that they're happy. I can follow up with them. Follow-up doesn't stop as soon as you've made the sale and that's the end of you. You can always go back to them and celebrate them and have promotions for them. And that fits into your whole larger marketing thing and asking them, who do you know who would enjoy a product like this? So there's different levels of sales, I guess is what we're saying. Mm-hmm. There's the initial sale when we first meet them and we say to them, well, people ask me a lot that question all the time. Can I send you something? I've got some information. Well, that's a sale. It's a small sale, but it is a sale. They say, okay, yes, they're going to take the next step. You say, great. Once they're in the content and they're reading it, you ask them to take the next step. Would you like to buy a $10 product? Would you like to listen to something else? Whatever that next step is, it's a sales process. You have to figure out what yours is, how it fits into your marketing, and then you're going to ask them to take the next step. So you're always asking them to take the next step. You're always asking them to take a sale. Some people stay with free material, and there's a lot of people who think that they're going to build their business on free.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest, especially in the social age, one of the biggest things that we're also seeing is a lot of these products that are sold, especially the ones that have a digital piece of content. Let's take an ebook as an example,
yeah.
Right? Now on Kindle, you can actually see what people have highlighted and so forth. When you're watching mm-hmm. something, it broadcasts it, right? So anything that you can do to have whatever that product was, announce itself to that second degree connectivity as it's happening probably helps, because that's another form of automation, right?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that too much,
yeah.
But yeah, that's...
Because at the end of the day, the themes that I'm picking up on here is, if you go long tail,
yeah.
and we are living in the world of long
Absolutely
tail now,
yeah.
You're either focusing on a commodity market, and in a commodity market, your price point is free. If you're not free, there will always be someone cheaper than you.
Yeah.
Okay, they will get to a point where they will pay you for your business, right? That's the commodity market. That's short term. That's the, I've talked to this person, what can you do for me relationship,
yeah.
Right? The new model, the long term model, is a very lengthy process that might take, like I keep telling people, what I'm doing right now in my 40s is so that I don't go through what happened in my 40s when I'm in my 60s. It is a 20-year plan.
Yeah.
Okay. That is as long tail as you can think. So when you've got these students coming out of university in their 20s, their long tail is 40 plus years. The only way you can do that is by not having to pay for each piece of content every time you create it, i.e. digital, have it amplify that so that it's amplifying on its own, and have some form of both peripheral and vertical, a form of communication that this process is happening, right? Getting all the channels, both the vertical and the horizontals. That's the only
auditory,
way.
Visual, and the other ones, right? The kinesthetic.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, it really comes down to, once you've made that relationship, you should be focusing on the relationship and have the product almost be automated as much as possible.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's content that leads to a sale or whatnot. So what you're focusing is on building the relationship, the trust, the stories, and just let the rest of it bubble. Would that, like, am I stretching when I say that, or?
No, and I think that really what it really is too is, how can I help you to solve the problems? Because there's another client of mine, and they're talking about the next level, which is that trusted advisor, which mm-hmm. is what innovation is. It's when I'm not outside of your business, I'm actually in your business. You're not paying me to sit at your board of directors. But I sit at your board of directors and help you to grow your business, because the more you grow your business, the more I can sell to you. And that's really where we're going to with all of this. And that's how you don't actually need new clients all the time. You just actually need a deeper relationship with the clients that you have. But we have to find out who our ideal clients are. There's a lot of people going to networking events who are not in the right room and who are not spending time with their ideal clients. And so what follow-up helps you to do is to pre-qualify those people, as I said, so that you're spending more of your time with your high payoff activities and your high payoff people.
Well, it's still Pareto's principle of the 80-20 rule, right? You want to spend 80% of your time on that 20% that will generate the 80%.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at the mark. Reintroduce yourself.
So my name is Cheryl Schofield, and I'm the follow-up specialist at kickstartyourcompany.com.
Great, and I'm Robert Levine, your social business mentor. Thank you, everybody.